Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam, doing another recording today at home, Sunday. And today we're going to continue to discuss putting on Christ. This time we're going to look at some passages from the book of Romans. And specifically, Romans chapter 13. And again, look at, as God speaks about it, what God says. What it is. What it looks like. Because it does look like something. God's very specific. With that, let's open up in prayer. Father, I thank you for another opportunity to share your word, to proclaim your truth. Father, I pray that your spirit will instruct and teach, convict and guide people in your ways, O God, in your truth. Father, reveal to us and let us know, what does it mean to put on Jesus? Put on Christ. Father, I thank you for your word and your truth. Let your word go forth and accomplish your will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so starting, I want to read a verse from Romans chapter 13, verse 14, and then I'll just share other things as God puts it on my heart. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, it's another imperative command in the Greek mood, which commands us to do something. Let us find out what this command is. Romans chapter 13, verse 14, God's word says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ," and that is a command, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he gives another command to stop. Stop making provisions for the flesh in regard to its lusts or desires. So here when you look at this, the command is for us to do something and to stop doing another. The command, so again here, the command is to put on Christ and to stop making provisions for the flesh in regards to the desires of the flesh. That's to be done. Or to stop doing that. But to do that, the only way to stop is to put on Christ. So what was he referring to? What was the discussion topic here? Well, backing up, we look at Romans chapter 13, verse 8. He says, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law." Think about that statement. The one who is loved, who loves his neighbor, has fulfilled the law. Now we know that Jesus taught the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. There are many who believe they love their neighbor. But do you love your neighbor as God loves his neighbor? As God commands to love your neighbor? Or do you love your neighbor as the world believes and teaches? Using the world's wisdom of what it means to love your neighbor. Well, how would you define that? Would you define it as doing good to your neighbor? Is that the extent of your definition? Well, God's definition is more perfect. You see, many people can do good in the world, but they also do wrong. God, in His Spirit, only bears one kind of fruit. So let's continue to read. What does it mean to love your neighbor and to fulfill the law? Verse 9. For this, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this single statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Think about that. He's commanding you not to do certain things to your neighbor. And to not do those things, God equates it to loving your neighbor as yourself. So God then summarizes in verse 10, what is the whole point that God is trying to get you and me to understand? Verse 10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Did you catch that? Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, that is why love is the fulfillment of the law. Do you still do wrong to other people? Do you still have to confess your sins and ask for forgiveness? Well, those who are saints of God, yes, we will continue to forgive others because others around us are going to continue to wrong us. But the question is, do you still wrong others? Well, then you are not fulfilling the perfect law. You are not. As we continue to read, he then gives instructions to a group of people. Because not everyone is able to fulfill the law by doing no wrong to a neighbor. So in verse 11, some additional instructions follow from God. Do this, knowing that the time is already the hour for you to awake from sleep. Some people had not yet woken from sleep. They were still in darkness. But when God comes knocking, then today, this hour is the hour of salvation for your soul, if you're willing to accept the truth. For salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. There are some who had not yet laid aside the deeds of darkness. There are some who had not yet put on the armor of light. Even some who say they believe. We did an episode where God says you must believe and receive the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, there are some who believe. There are some who even confess God. But as we just did in the episode, by their deeds, they deny him. The question is, have you laid aside the deeds of darkness? Have you put on the armor of light? Do you behave properly as in the day? Or do you still have sin in your life that you try to hide and cover? Do you have carousing? Any drunkenness? Sexual promiscuity? Sensuality? Do you have strife? Do you have jealousy? You see, you cannot have any of those things. Thus the command in verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its desires. Now, the book of Romans has a lot more to say about this. We covered a little bit about the book of Romans and put on Christ, the book of Colossians. We touched a little bit about it. We also did a thorough episode on overcoming sin, spiritually baptized, crucified, and also overcoming sin, the war of the flesh explained. But here I want to look at Romans chapter 12, which is right before chapter 13. Again, to give more context to what God wants in our lives when we have put on Christ. You see, we all know and would agree that Jesus was a holy and living sacrifice to Lord God Almighty. But did you know that when you put on Christ, you also are to become a holy living sacrifice? Now, Peter discusses this. 1 Peter, I believe it's chapter 2. Let me just flip there. Bear with me. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he starts off. Now, this is right after in chapter 1 and verse 14 and through 16, where he says, as obedient children, remember, we're supposed to be obedient children, no longer conforming to the former lusts or desires, which were yours in ignorance. See, that's the old self, right? The old man that's supposed to be put off to then put on Christ. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Are you holy in all your behavior? Are you holy in all your behavior? The standard being, as God Himself is holy. You see, even Peter in chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, says, therefore, put aside, therefore, all malice. Put aside, therefore, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander. Are you starting to see a consistent message from God? He goes on to say, if, in verse 3, if you have tasted of the kindness of the Lord, would you say you have? Well, he then says, then if you have, and you have come to Christ as to a living stone, which is rejected by men, but is choice and precious in God's sight, if you have, then he says, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Oh yes, we know Christ was. But you are supposed to as well. To be a holy priesthood. Yes, that's right. You are now to be a holy priest. To offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Oh, but you can't be having these lusts in the flesh, desires of the flesh. No, in verse 11 it says, "Beloved, I beg you, as aliens and strangers, abstain, cease from the fleshly desires which wage war against the soul." Goes on to say, you must keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. He has a lot more to say. We've covered that in many different episodes, what Peter has to say. We covered that recently, and many people have a false confession. In part three, I think we covered 2 Peter. Those will be posted soon enough. We did that with Kyle. But until then, again, read 1 Peter, read 2 Peter. It's all the same message. Now, going back here in Romans. So in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Did you catch that? Your spiritual service of worship is whether or not you can present your body as a living and holy sacrifice to God. What does that look like? Well, verse 2, imperative command, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's the noun, renewal of your mind. So that you're proving the will of God, all that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Is your life a holy and living sacrifice to God? Have you been transformed? Have you put on Christ? Does your life now prove the will of God? All that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Or is there a problem? Is it that is your desire? Is that what you try to do? God doesn't want you to try. That's a trick of the devil. There's no victory in that. God wants you to be a doer, not a hearer. God wants you to be an overcomer. God wants you to live in victory and power. But that can only be done in the truth. If not, well, it's probably because you haven't heard the entire full truth. Believe me, I thought I had the truth. I thought my faith was in Christ. I thought I was born again. I thought I served God. Christ dwelling and living in me, the Spirit guiding me, God being for me and not against me. Oh, how deceived I was. I still am perplexed at how deceived I was. But God can do impossible works. As you continue on, as you have the examples of what does this look like to have put on Christ. In chapter 12, verse 9, he says, "Love is to be without hypocrisy." Cannot have hypocrisy in love. You must abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Remember what we just read about love? Your neighbor as yourself and fulfilling the law? The question is, do you now do no wrong to your neighbor? Do no wrong to your neighbor. That is what it means to fulfill the law. You no longer sin against them. You no longer wrong them. Is your love without hypocrisy? Or is Jesus going to accuse you of being a hypocrite, just like he did with the righteous religious leaders of the day in the eyes of men. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Do you still sin against your neighbor? Give preference to one another in honor. Do not lag behind in diligence. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Do you persevere in trials? Or do you struggle through them? Well, if you have the power of God, you don't struggle through them. You overcome. You persevere. Be devoted to prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Are you contributing to the needs of the saints? Do you actually truly know who the saints are? See, there's a lot of people who believe in Christ, confess. As we just recently covered in those episodes, they have a false confession. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Never. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Never take your own vengeance, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, because God does have a wrath, as it says, as it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink, for in doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. And the last verse, 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And then God goes on in chapter 13 and instructs us what love is, whether or not we truly love, and whether or not we have truly put on Christ. And now make no provision for the flesh in regards to the desires of the flesh. Father, I thank you for your word. It is powerful, it is true, it is consistent and faithful. Father, I thank you that your work and your truth does an impossible work in our lives, that we can now live in a manner worthy of the calling with which we've been called, to please you, O God, and to be a holy and living sacrifice in our own bodies. Now proving your will in our life, O God, all that which is good, acceptable, and perfect, the will of God. Amen.